Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to the Wolverine Confidential Podcast. I'm Andrew Kahn.
I'm Ryan Zook.
And I'm Aaron McMahon.
On this episode, we discuss Michigan's recent international recruiting success, Wolverines in the MLB draft, the school's new president, summer basketball workouts, and more coming up on Wolverine Confidential. All right, guys, we're talking here late Tuesday morning, July 19th, and let's not bury the lead. Let's get right to it. Aaron got married last weekend, as we previewed in the last podcast, so it's only right that we do a recap just like we do, you know, during the football season with the games. So yeah, beautiful ceremony, fun reception. Blue moons were consumed by me. Zook had something that included a splash of lemonade. I know that.
Vodka soda with a splash of lemonade, baby.
There you go. Aaron, did you soak it in, or was it kind of a blur, or somewhere in between?
Yeah, somewhere in between. Like, we joked afterward, like, no, everything kind of flew by. Like, the first time I asked about what time it was at night, it was like 10:15. I'm like, oh my God, like, we're done already. Didn't drink enough. I think I had like two drinks the whole night. I was badly dehydrated by the end of it. I was like chugging water because I could feel it from all the dancing. But no, it was fun. I'm glad she didn't leave me at the altar and run. So it was, that was a good time. I'm glad you two were able to make it. Everything went smoothly. It's a night I won't forget. I think everything was perfect. You know, from the weather to everyone making it, we didn't have any last minute disasters.
To the best man speech.
Best man speech. Yeah, my group chat was lighting up on that afterwards. It was a good time.
Yeah, well, you know, not drinking enough water, you know, is better than not maybe not drinking too much of something else, I suppose. Like, so, you know, it all works out, I guess. But yes, a good time. Welcome to the marriage club. I think we actually have the perfect segue to talk Michigan football recruiting, because you know, my wife and I are sitting at the ceremony, and we spot Zook coming towards us, and he's got his MLive backpack on. what is going on here? But the guy had written, but not yet filed. He was in between. A story on a commitment. One happened right then and there, of course, as you were heading to the reception. Tell us about that, Sue.
Yeah, I mean, well, first I saw it on my phone. I'm seeing a bunch of Twitter notifications pop up. Like, all right, I'm stuck in traffic, but I knew I was going to get there a little bit early. And I'm like, all right, I should be able to have time to get the story up and get it done before the ceremony. And then I was having internet issues. There was no service to use my hotspot. So I was able to write the story, but not publish it. But yeah, Michigan has gotten three commitments in the past week. And that one on Friday night was a kid from France, Aymeric Toumba, 6'4", 230-pound edge prospect from France. I mean, the big thing about him, he's got a 7'1" wingspan, really a massive human being coming off the edge. And yeah, he's from Paris, France. And a couple days later, Michigan landed another international prospect. This one, Manuel Beidel, 6'5", 282-pound defensive lineman from Germany in the 2024 class. So he only had one other offer at this point from CMU. Michigan actually offered both these guys at camps this summer. They're both part of this PPI recruits program founded by former NFL player Brandon Collier. And during the summer, they come over, do some camps in front of college coaches, And obviously they impressed Coach Mike Elston enough to land some offers. So yeah, Michigan's got a little bit of some buzz on the recruiting trail here, but I think that the big name that they landed earlier last week was Enow Etta, a 6'5", 260-pound defensive line prospect out of Texas, who now becomes their top-ranked commit in the 2023 class at number 119 overall in the 24/7 Sports composite. He had about 30 offers, chose Michigan over other finalists, Alabama, Michigan State, and Stanford. So a huge get for the Wolverines, especially considering it seemed like throughout most of Etta's recruitment that the Spartans were the team to beat. So, I mean, he's a guy that had 21 and a half freaking sacks last year. So sounds like he could definitely get after the quarterback.
There's a common thread among these three guys. You mentioned international students and or the international guys from different countries. And part of me wonders, maybe this is a discussion to have in maybe next pod or even now, but like you start to wonder if the Michigan coaching staff is going to start to go in that direction. Because remember this time last year, David Ajabo, similar situation, from a different country, came over here. And I don't know the citizenship status of these guys or everything else where that falls. But remember, David Ajabo couldn't capitalize on NIL. That was a big deal then. So I wonder if this is where Michigan's coaching staff is going to focus their efforts, at least temporarily. Because as we've talked about in weeks past, NIL has been hurting Michigan. And I wonder if this is their way to try and, navigate around that and still get some of these maybe potentially high ceiling prospects.
Yeah, that is a good point. And yeah, I mean, I don't know exactly how that works, but I know Mike Elston has a history of recruiting overseas, even when he was with Notre Dame. So I know Michigan hasn't done that as much recently. I know the latest was Julius Wellstroth, also who was part of this PPI recruits program. So out from Germany and Beigel is also from Germany. So, I mean, there's some connections there. And like you say, yeah, Michigan needs to fill out their classes somehow. So if they're not getting guys in the United States, might as well have to look elsewhere. And I mean, it's tough to say there's basically no film from this Beigel guy, except for a couple clips that Collier posted on his Twitter page. So it's kind of tough to tell what these guys are bringing to the table. But he says that they would both be top 150 prospects if they were playing in America. So again, a little bit probably more project types because football's not as big overseas as it is here. But if they see the athleticism is there and they feel like they can mold these guys into strong college and possibly NFL players, might as well take a chance.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, Ajabo, grew up, born in Nigeria, moved to Scotland, but then did play, at least a couple of years of, high school football in America. Wellshoff, as you mentioned, came right from Germany, if I'm remembering that correctly. And then these other three, it's a mix. We've got a couple that are playing in the United States or at least set to this coming season.
So yeah, Etta has played in the United States. Beigel is slated to play in Connecticut at Choate Rosemary Hall, a program, one of the top programs in the Northeast. Michigan landed a three-star defense or offensive tackle out of there a couple of years ago, Tristan Bound. So there's a connection there. So yeah, he should be getting some U.S. flavor, football flavor in him and better competition here in the next 2 years. So we'll see how he can develop with 2 years of American football under his belt.
Yeah, very, very interesting. Yeah, it could be the NIL could certainly be a factor. It could be, I don't know, if you have the resources, of course, to do some of this scouting and have, connections. You maybe can find some gems that other schools are overlooking.
Yeah, I'm hoping to talk. I'm supposed to talk to this Collier guy this week, too, to get some more for a feature on a couple of these guys. And I know he's helped land a lot of scholarships for international players, and seems like he's pretty high on both the guys that Michigan landed. So, stay tuned for that. But, yeah, it will be interesting to see what he has to say about these guys.
All right. Well, we've been talking about the lack of commitments. It's picked up lately from unexpected places.
Oh, one more thing before we move on the last four commits now have all been defensive linemen. So it seems like Mike Elston is finding his groove here on the trail for Michigan. So they're, they had one defensive linemen in the 2023 class heading into what, a week or two ago, and now they're pretty stacked at that position. So they're definitely building some momentum, especially on the defensive side of the ball up front.
Yeah, it's important to point out too, you know, Etta is now Michigan's highest ranked recruit for the 2023 class. He's a 4-star kid, top 120 nationally, according to 24/7. So he now kind of replaces that Raylan Wilson spot as the highly rated part of the class. And Michigan's now moved up. I think they're in the 50s last time we checked in. They're now, I think, 35 nationally with the recruiting class.
Not great, but better than they were. Definitely better than they were. So
the Major League Baseball draft is happening right now. I think today, Tuesday, is the final day. Is that right?
Yes.
So a few Wolverines have already been taken. Tell us about them, Ryan.
Yeah, I mean, one guy that I wrote about during the season kind of knew he was going to go pretty early, and he did. Clark Elliott, outfielder. He went number 69 overall to the Oakland Athletics on the competitive B balance round. I hate that. Like, why can't we just say it like round one, round of these competitive balance rounds are just a real pain in the butt to write. But anyways, yeah.
69th overall. I mean, yeah, you know, that is, yeah.
Exactly. That's where I put my headline. It's just easier to and sneak one of those in there. So anyways, yeah. And then two more guys went on Monday. Cameron Weston, right-handed pitcher, went in the eighth round to the Baltimore Orioles. And Joe Stewart, outfielder who played at Michigan State for his first 4 years, transferred to Michigan as a graduate transfer 2022, had a stellar season, batted a team-high 349, added 13 home runs and 56 RBIs in 62 games. And then now he's a ninth-round draft pick of the Los Angeles Angels. So almost gave baseball up after his fourth year at Michigan State. His senior year was really the only year he really contributed on the field for the Spartans. Had a job lined up with AT&T in Dallas and was ready to start his post-baseball career, post-college career, and ended up saying, you know what, still think I have some baseball left in me. And Eric Backich gave him a shot and definitely paid off for the Wolverines and for Stewart. So good for him. And yeah, we'll see if anyone else goes here today. But yeah, that's eight straight drafts that Michigan's had at least three players selected. Eric Backich was able to develop this program into to produce a lot of MLB or at least pro talent from the North here.
You know, we'll see. You know, ninth round picks. I'm not sure how many of them make it to the show, but yeah, there's at least, you know, team believes in him to try to continue his career for at least a little bit longer. The first player you mentioned,
Clark Elliott,
going to the A's. I mean, yeah, you kind of feel bad for them. Listen, he's drafted, but not the best organization in Major League Baseball. Let's put it that way.
No, it is not. And I feel like they've drafted a lot of Michigan players over the last few years too.
As long as the paycheck clears, it shouldn't matter.
Yeah, there you go. Well, that's a legitimate question with the A's. So
right.
We'll see. But all right, yeah. So we'll stay tuned. Any others potentially getting taken?
It's tough to tell. There is, but I mean, it's once you get past the 10th round in the MLB, it's like, you take your risk drafting a guy, a junior or something, or if like this Willie Weiss guy, a pitcher from Michigan last year, he's transferred to Clemson, but he's draft eligible. Like if he gets drafted, will he go, or will he go to Clemson for another year too? So kind of tough to tell, but we'll see. I definitely think there's a possibility if they leave for the pros, who knows? I mean, there's always a chance that they stay too for another year or two.
Gotcha. Since we recorded our last podcast, Michigan introduced a new president. Santa is coming to town. Santa Ono. He was at the University of British Columbia, where as president for the past 6 years. The 4 years before that, he was Cincinnati's president. He has responsibilities far more important than athletics. But this is a sports podcast, so I guess Aaron, you were there for his press conference last week. You know, what is your sense of what his hiring means for Michigan athletics?
Yeah, I don't think it's a negative. That's for sure. You know, I think you could categorize Mark Schlissel as kind of absent from athletics. I think when he needed to step in, he did. And when he helped, you know, participate in those votes at the Big Ten and everything else, he did. But If you ask a lot of folks behind the scenes from the athletic department, I think they're happy with this change. Santa Ono, his history, at least the University of Cincinnati, was very pro athletics. He was a big part of helping or further, you know, finance the athletic department there. He was active in upgrading the football stadium, Nippert Stadium. They did some renovations at the basketball arena as well. So he's viewed as pro athletics. Now, how that differs at Michigan remains to be seen, because I think he's in this is a very different situation from the one he walked into at Cincinnati. At the time, there, Cincinnati was still growing. They're trying to establish themselves in a conference. Michigan's a little bit different. I think they're well established. They're well funded. I don't think funding is an issue at this point, but I do think it would help to get some more support just from the administration. I think that's what they're looking for. Ono certainly, I think, is going to provide that. You know, he gave a couple of good lines about his plans. He wants to go to football games. You know, he mentioned that when he was at the University of Cincinnati, he often went to football games. He was there's videos of him crowd surfing in the football stadium with the students. So he's very active. He's 59 years old. Certainly doesn't look like it. He's younger for his age. Still very active. He wants to be a part of athletics. Now, he complimented athletic director Ward Emanuel several times now. So I don't think I don't think there's any changes coming down the line, because oftentimes, you know, we've talked about this in other jobs too. And when a new, whether president or AD comes into power, they like their own guys there. So I Ward Emanuel just signed their extension. So I don't think he's going to go anywhere anytime soon. There seems to be some good mojo there. I complimented Jim Harbaugh. So I think you're going to see Santa Ono around quite a bit. He's active on social media. He already tweeted a photo of himself and his wife inside the big house over the weekend. So I think it's pro athletics. Now, I don't know how much of an influence he's going to have in some of those interesting topics going on right now, transfer portal and NIL. He doesn't have much experience with NIL. Obviously, coming from the University of British Columbia, it's just kind of a different ballgame there. Athletics aren't exactly as emphasized. And when he was at UC, it was obviously pro or pre-NIL. So We'll see here. He said on multiple occasions he wants Michigan to be competitive and active in the Big Ten. Well, they already are, so I don't know how much more you can get. But obviously, a lot of folks are asking about NIL. You know, we spoke to some of the regents afterwards. I think they want to see more, support from the administration with that regard. So we'll see. I don't think it certainly hurts the athletic department. And I think best case scenario, it certainly is going to, I think, help too.
Yeah. I think those in the athletic department would prefer someone who, doesn't meddle and, maybe get in their way, but also, is supportive. And it seems like he will probably strike that balance, here at Michigan. Does not take over until mid-October.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Michigan football's record be by then.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Fair question to be discussed at a future pod, no doubt. All right, we said we'd do a little basketball talk as well. Summer workouts are underway, and, on the men's side, they're still waiting for a couple of guys to actually take the court. Youssef Kayat is playing for the Lebanese national team. They're in a tournament right now, the Asia Cup in Indonesia. So that'll run through this week. They continued to then play in other events kind of throughout the summer into the fall. But the plan is for him to get to Ann Arbor sooner rather than later, in time to have some practices before the team goes on their overseas trip. Part of me thought he would just maybe meet him there in Greece or France, wherever they're going first. But that's mid-August is when they're leaving on that trip. So the plan, is for Kayat, the freshman, to arrive on campus and practice a little bit and play in those games. Joey Baker, the transfer from Duke, is still rehabbing from hip surgery. He's on the court. He's shooting. He's present, but he's not a practice participant, has not been cleared for any contact yet. The exact timeline of that is not known. You know, whether he'll play in these games overseas is to be determined. You know, Phil Martelli mentioned to me last night, like, you know, you don't necessarily know what you're going to get with some of the facilities, you know, in these other places. And if, you know, they feel like the court's maybe not perfect, you want to risk it with a guy who's coming off a hip surgery. So, you know, we'll see about that. But other guys have looked good. I mean, Martelli mentioned Kobe Bufkin right away, which is great news for Michigan fans, given, you know, what they lost in the backcourt and, you know, the expectation that Bufkin can step in as a sophomore and, you know, fill Eli Brooks' spot in the starting lineup. You know, he had good things to say about the two guys who, you know, applied for red shirts after last season, Will Chitter and Isaiah Barnes. You know, both could be in the mix for some actual playing time this year. You know, and then I asked him about the freshman Elvis story coming on them, probably tomorrow more in depth, but, yeah, he likes what he's seen from them. I mean, Jet Howard, in particular is going to be someone who will compete for a starting spot. You know, Doug McDaniel and Terrace Reed figure to be, you know, backups at their, respective positions, point guard and center. Michigan is set there with some veterans, but, you know, they can provide some depth. Greg Glenn, maybe more of a logjam at his position. But yeah, he's a solid, you know, prospect as well. So, you know, a lot of new faces on the court for Michigan, but, they'll get 10 extra practices. The NCAA allows that as part of, you know, when you go on these overseas trips. So that'll be big for them. And then, you know, then the bonding that actually happens on these trips, I think, is very important. The games themselves, you know, not so much.
When's the Wolverine Confidential crew going on their overseas trip?
This is a good question. I mean, Aaron's going on his own, but, you know, that's, we're not invited on that one.
Where would you guys want to go overseas?
I mean, I have been to Greece, where they're one of the spots they're going, and that was awesome. So I don't know places that I haven't been yet that I'd like to go. I've never been to Australia. That's certainly on my list.
I always want to go to Italy. I've not been to Italy. Michigan's football team went before I was on the beat, so I didn't have the opportunity to go on that trip. But Italy would probably be the top of the list.
Zook?
So I've been to Europe. So I mean, I'd like to do a little Hawaii action. I've never been to Hawaii, so it seems like a little island hopping.
I've been strongly recommended.
Too many deadly animals in Australia for me, man. I just snakes, spiders. Could get beat up by a kangaroo, like, you know, there's just too many things going on there. And the flight, like, what, like a 20-hour flight?
Oh, yes, it's a long way, no doubt. All right, well, we've got the Michigan football team taking its trip, much, you know, staying in the state of Michigan coming up here. So we'll have some coverage of that, any more commitments, and all other Wolverines news on MLive.com/Wolverines. Thanks for listening.